Hi, my name is Shelley. I'm a grateful believer who is in recovery from codependency, the effects of abuse, and who is finding victory over food addiction. I came to celebrate recovery because I knew I was a codependent and I needed to learn how not to be. My recovery process started after I had come out of a 26-year marriage, which was riddled with verbal and emotional abuse. I was determined to work on healing from the effects of abuse and learn how to have healthy relationships with others. I was born in Portland, Oregon, and I've lived here and in the suburbs most of my life. I'm the second oldest child of four girls. When I was very young, my father was in the Navy. So for a few years, we lived in Tacoma, Washington, where he was stationed. Dad had been diagnosed, I guess I can hear myself really good now, with bipolar, the depressive side, in his mid-20s. He also became an alcoholic during this time. He was honorably discharged from the Navy because of his condition, the bipolar, and we moved back to Portland, Oregon. As a civilian, he became a technical writer for data processing, which he had done while in the service. Dad had a Navy friend who used to come and stay weekends with our family a lot, and he molested me and my three other sisters for several years. When I was around 11, my older sister and I decided we had to put a stop to it, and we told our mom. She confronted the molester and told him if it didn't stop, she would tell our father. It did stop, and he didn't come stay with us anymore. We all decided not to tell my dad because he was supposed to be his best friend, and we feared Dad would go into a major manic depression episode. It wasn't until I was grown that Dad found out and then also confronted the man as well. Mom started taking us girls to church when we lived up in Tacoma, and when we moved to Portland, she continued to take us to church. I loved Sunday school and singing the old hymns in big church. When I was 5 or 6 years old, Dad stopped drinking, but he still struggled with the depression his whole life. But Dad started attending church with us, and we all went regularly from then on. Even though Dad was sober, it was very hard for him to focus on his family, and he was not there emotionally for me and my siblings or Mom. Ironically, years later, when I was in my 30s, Dad started helping out in the church office. As a teen, I did not get along with my father and ran away from home a lot. Fortunately, I did not get into anything addictive like drugs or alcohol. I accepted Christ into my heart at the age of 13, but did not rely on the Lord or really follow him until I was an adult. It was not until I was married and started a family that my relationship with my father was restored. I'm a lot like my father, although I would not have admitted it as a child or especially as a teen. He was smart and good at writing. He could express himself in words on paper, but was poor at verbal communication. I was the only one of Dad's four children that challenged his thinking and actions. He came to respect me for that, and we became very close, often being able to read each other's emotions and knew when there wasn't something right in each other's lives. Dad died in 2007 at the age of 64, 3 months before my youngest son graduated from high school. I was advised not to add or change my testimony from its edited version, but God showed me something about my father that is profound to me, and I wanted to share it with you all. 2 weeks ago, on my way home from CR, I was listening to a Christian radio station, and a woman spoke about her father and how during his battle with cancer, he was such an encouragement to family and friends, and how much he loved everyone. At that moment, God showed me how much my own earthly father, for the last 10 years or so of his life, tried to make up for not being there for me emotionally during my childhood. I was able to see that he deeply loved me and cared about my life and my personal struggles, but I had been blind to it or in denial to his love for me, and I tended to focus on the negativity of my childhood relationship with him. As a result of this, I had an empty space in my soul that never got filled, and it caused me to seek approval from others. At that moment of realization, I felt like my earthly father was reaching down from heaven and giving me a big hug. and a part of the emptiness in my soul was filled. This brought tears to my eyes. God was showing me not only my dad's love for me, but God the Father's love and acceptance of me. As a result of my father not being there emotionally as a child, I sought out the attention of men and ended up marrying a man who was very emotionally distant, critical, and verbally and emotionally abusive, and who was also an alcoholic, among other addictions. We had two boys within 3 years. I loved being a mom and was fortunate to be able to stay home with them for a few years until they were in school all day. I still made some money babysitting other children and teaching at a preschool-type program that my church had, where I could take the boys with me. I also worked at their private school to get a discount on tuition. When my youngest entered first grade, I started working more hours, which increased over the years because of needing to make ends meet. In 1996, there was a flood that devastated our apartment. We lost over half of our possessions because since the flood water was contaminated, lots of items had to be thrown out or were completely ruined. The important thing was that nobody was hurt. God used the flood as a blessing by helping us get into a house where we finished raising our boys. They were 7 and 9 when this all happened. God gave us back everything that we needed and more. I learned how unimportant material possessions were through this hard event in our lives. I was hoping that by experiencing God's miracles and seeing how he can do anything and bring good out of the bad in our lives, that my husband would draw closer to God. I could see how this could be a catalyst to propel us into mending the broken pieces of our marriage and essentially washing away the damaged parts that were becoming more and more of the norm in our relationship. But unfortunately, my husband did not see any need to do any changes. I was torn between wanting to be a godly wife and feeling alone and isolated from friends and family. We tried counseling on more than one occasion, but it never helped because it can only work if both people put forth the effort to mend the relationship, which was not the case. I vowed to myself to never become a nag or try to force my husband to change. I felt alone in the marriage because we had gone to church together up until our oldest son was born, and then my husband stopped going and said he didn't want to go anymore. I felt betrayed, like he had wooed me until he was comfortable, and then knew that I would not leave him since we now had a child. He had professed to be a believer, but it did not show. Our relationship started to change after that. An emotional distance grew between us and only got stronger over the years. I was shot down and told that I was being ridiculous every time I tried to tell him my feelings and concerns. He also started some behaviors that only added to the division in the marriage. He spent a lot of money on his addictions, which at times strapped us financially. I jumped in and fixed everything, taking care of the household, the kids, the finances, and the spiritual responsibility of the family. I also worked full-time without getting help with anything around the house, including the kids. Because I saw what divorce had done to my mom's family, tearing it apart, I did not want our two sons to go through that and not have their father around. So I became a codependent and a doormat to keep the peace and try to lessen the abuse. I focused on my children and tried to be the best mom I could be, even to the point of taking them to church every week, mostly by myself. On rare occasions, my husband would come, usually on the holidays. I became the spiritual leader, which should not have been my role. In August 2011, I lost my job of 15 years as a grocery checker and front-end manager due to a simple mistake of misreading a customer's ID card in an alcohol cell. I needed prescription glasses and didn't know it. I had to go to court, and my case was dismissed because it was accidental. This was an act of God, because my lawyer told me that he had never seen anyone's case get dismissed in court. I didn't have to pay any court fees or lawyer fees. I trusted the Lord with all of it because I prayed for years to get out of the check stand, and I knew he had a plan for me. I was able to get unemployment because of it being accidental as well. We went on a family trip to the beach at the end of that month with both boys, their wives, and my husband's parents. It was a disaster because my husband's abuse had escalated to the point that I didn't know if I could go on. I told the Lord that I was going to go off the deep end and that I could not live that way any longer. Well, the following month, my husband decided to leave the marriage and move out of the house. It was a relief, but also a hard thing to go through because now both of my boys were married and my youngest son was living in Eastern Canada with his new wife. Another bittersweet thing that happened is that my youngest son, the same one, told us that he and his wife were going to have a baby. I was not ready to be a grandmother yet, but I became excited in a short amount of time. My grandson was born on my birthday, May of 2012. It was a gift from God, and he is such a blessing to us all. Unfortunately, he still lives in Eastern Canada, and I don't get to see him very often. I am so glad that nowadays we have Skype. It makes it a lot easier to deal with missing my son and my grandson so much. I was blessed to have them here in the States this past week for Easter. I had to take my grandson to church. I was now alone in the house. I faced grief over the marriage and empty nest at the same time, a double grief. I had never lived alone my whole life. I hated it and was lonely and felt isolated from my kids and friends. The quiet was deafening. I had to turn on the television or radio just to have noise in the house. Up until this point, I thought that I trusted the Lord a lot. A girlfriend kept telling me I should go to ARMS, Abuse Recovery Ministry Services, because of my abusive marriage. She had gone through the program and said it helped her a lot. So I finally relented and started going, October 2011. I went through the program twice, and then I told the leader I was thinking of going to Al-Anon because I knew I'd become a codependent and I wanted to learn how not to be one. She told me about Celebrate Recovery and that it was a biblically based program. I knew I needed to go, but I hesitated for a few weeks. Then I heard the Lord tell me that it was the next step in my recovery. So I said, okay, Lord, I'll go. The first night I walked through the doors, I was surprised that I didn't know anyone. I went to the 101 class and was thinking of booking out of here right afterwards. I decided to go into Solid Rock because something drew me into the room. A longtime friend, which you just met, spied me and approached me. I've been coming to CR since June of 2012. I was very closed to the idea of doing a step study, as I did not want to give up another evening of my week. But the Lord kept pursuing me, and I finally relented and got into a step study. We finished ours in June of 2013. I have to admit that I didn't really see the impact of the study until recently, when I faced several losses in my life. A couple of years ago, those losses would have devastated me because my self-esteem and self-worth had been so low, having been under so many years of abuse. But with the Lord's healing and having worked the steps of my inventory, my self-confidence has grown tremendously. And because of this, I was not deterred from my path, even though the enemy tried to derail me and discourage me. Jeremiah 16:19a says, "The Lord is my strength and my fortress, my refuge in time of distress. I often speak this to the Lord, saying, 'You are my tower, my refuge and my strength, my shield and my protection, my rock and my fortress. In you will I trust.'" Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you all the days of your life, plans to give you a hope and a future." This has been my life verse the past 2.5 years. And I have told the Lord many times that I will cling to him with every fiber of my being when I'm afraid. Besides codependency, the Lord showed me that I also struggled with trusting him and with fear, which go hand in hand. I trusted him with certain things, but not with my marriage and my future. I didn't think God heard my cries for deliverance, and I thought that he cared more about other people than me. I needed to be delivered from my oppression, and it seemed like my many years of crying out to him fell on deaf ears. The Lord also showed me recently that I had some other dependencies or go-tos that I would run to rather than him. I already knew that food had been one of them, as I had been overweight for over 15 years. I went to my doctor and told her I needed help. I was tired of hurting all the time, feeling unhealthy, and that there was something wrong with me, and I wanted to know what it was. She looked at me and said, "Finally." I had been her patient for many years, and she had spoken to me about losing weight before, but I did not have the support in place at the time to do as she asked. They ran several tests, and I was told that I was pre-diabetic, had high cholesterol, near high blood pressure, and that I was gluten intolerant. They put me on cholesterol medication and threatened me with blood pressure medicine. I was also asked to follow a diabetic diet for a while to lose weight. I was tired of being overweight and unhealthy, so I did what they asked. It took me 1.5 years to lose weight, and now I've lost over 100 pounds and have kept it off. And have kept off 90% of it for over a year now. I'm learning to lean on the Lord instead of using my old go-tos for comfort. I'm also learning to set healthy boundaries for myself and others. And my trust in the Lord gets stronger every day. I had been reluctant to get involved at CR for various reasons, but mostly having to do with time. I was also very reluctant to do my testimony. One fellow step sister kept asking me when I was going to do it, and I told her I wasn't. Then a few months later, another fellow stepsister wanted to start a new women's group and asked me to co-lead with her. I told her I would pray about it and get back to her. About a month later, she got approval to start the new group and asked for my decision. I realized it would not take any more time from my week because I'm already here on Wednesdays anyway. So, and I wanted to be there for other women and encourage them in their journeys. So I agreed and am now attending the leadership trainings to become an official leader. I've enjoyed encouraging other women and being able to support them. I also look forward to getting more involved as time goes on, and I look forward to seeing my CR friends every week and seek to look for the newcomers who need the program and healing. To the newcomer, I say, I used to be fearful and did not think I could recover. I now know that there is hope, and I can now dream again. I look forward to what the Lord has planned for my life. I encourage you to keep coming and work the program and give the Lord a chance to heal you. Romans 15:13 says, "May the God of all hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." I have not fully arrived yet. That's not fully arrived yet. I continue to overcome the effects of abuse and no longer expect that I should be all the way healed already. I am a work in progress, and working the program keeps me focused on the Lord and helps me continue to grow stronger every day. The Lord has delivered me from my Egypt and oppression, and I am heading towards my promised land. I am determined to stay on the path the Lord has set before me and keep my focus on Him. I am determined to stay on the path the Lord has set before me and keep my focus on Him. I want His will over mine, because I have seen many times in my life how His will is better than mine, and He knows what is best for me better than I do. He has proven His faithfulness to me over and over again, and has taken such good care of me. I have no reason to ever doubt His love and care of me. He has blessed me beyond what I have ever asked for, and He loves all of us the same. He does not play favorites. We are all His children. And He gently draws us to Himself. Will you allow Him to draw you so that you can receive the healing He desires for you? John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." I am now experiencing the life God intended for me to have, a life of peace and hope. He has given me many wonderful and encouraging friends, and an awesome roommate, and a cousin who's here. I am very blessed. I count these blessings often, and my New Year's resolution this year was to focus on the positive. I am done with the negativity of the past and choose to continue in the renewal that I know is ever before me. Thank you for listening to my story.